for Lee Satoff, Jim Swanson, and others at the Lyman Egg Supply and the Family Vision Center, with a lot of good folks who will help you see better and look good while you're doing it. This is Bob Bevensie, along with Brian Smith, on this morning's Conservation Report. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Bob.
Where have you been?
I've been out, I was in Washington, D.C. for a few days. Yes.
What was going on?
Went out there for the National Police Week and the Police Officers Memorial Ceremony out there. So I went with the contingent of folks from the Omaha Police Department and the family of Carrie Orozco, which, of course, you know, her mother lives in Walnut. And so I went out there with a contingent of those folks for National Police Week.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that pretty good show, wasn't it?
It was. You know, it's one of those you want to enjoy being there, but the reason you're there, you can't really enjoy. So, yeah. But it was certainly very interesting, very solemn experience, but a good one on the other hand as well. So mm-hmm. Enjoyed it and glad I went.
Yeah. I had kind of a bad choice of words there, quite a show. It's not a show, it was a ceremony, but everything is a show to a certain extent, I guess, and I didn't want to make light of it, but a lot of law enforcement from all over the country.
Yes, everywhere. I saw every corner of the United States and Germany, London, England was there, New South Wales. So there's a number of officers that come from overseas for it every year as well.
Wow.
So it was quite interesting when you're walking down the streets of America and you see a Polizzi on the back of a shirt, or you see a London Bobby walking around with the full dress hat and the whole nine yards. It's quite interesting.
Yeah, things are changing a little bit. I'll get political for just a moment. You just leave me alone. But Obama is starting to give some awards to heroism in the police ranks, rather than running them down as killers. So maybe we're getting a little sense in Washington somewhere along the line. I doubt it very much, but maybe some.
Well, actually, as you say that, there was another Omaha police officer. We didn't actually go to the Capitol to witness that ceremony, but he was actually given a medal for valor in single-handedly stopping a shooting rampage in Omaha back in, I believe it was 2013 or 14. And we got to watch it live from the hotel. We got to watch it live at the Capitol, and President Obama awarded him, like I said, the Medal of Valor, so along with several other officers from across the country. But that was quite an honor for the city of Omaha.
Mm-hmm. You bet. Interesting article in the Wednesday World Herald. They arrested a guy going across Nebraska, two guys in the car. They had a car and $65,000. And they asked him what he's going to do. He was, "Oh, I'm going to Colorado, and I'm going to buy pot and take it back to Minnesota and sell it."
Mm-hmm.
So they wrote him up, and the judge says, "There's no jurisdiction on driving across the state with money in the car. They weren't doing anything illegal here." So on he went, and he's got his own cottage industry going. Okay, enough of that. Let's talk about what's really hot. Let's talk about fishing. Let's talk about pond conditions. I took a little horseback ride yesterday and went up around Lamb's Lake, which you're quite familiar with, and it's even lower and upper are pretty well full and quite pretty.
Of course, I've been, like I said, I was out of town for right about a week. I know you got some rain while I was gone. Has it muddied things up?
It didn't look too bad from what I could see off of the horse right there, but it's pretty flat, so there's not much runoff goes in there. So I imagine some of the regular farm ponds are probably a little murky.
I would think so. You know, those that have good buffer strips, which, you know, there's a classic example of why buffer strips are so important to filter that water out. But anyway, yes, if you've got a pond, you know, surrounded by pasture or surrounded by buffer strips, should be in good shape, and boy, I think the fishing last, I fished right before I left for D.C., and boy, I couldn't keep them off the hook.
Wow.
So the bluegills, crappies, bass, all the above, that literally hardly cast without catching a fish, or at least getting a bite.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes it kind of fun. Makes up for some of those days when all you get is a sunburn.
Oh, absolutely. I guess, I don't know, maybe I'm a little spoiled. I've got access to some pretty good private farm ponds, and so You know, I love this time of year. Then when it starts getting really hot and humid, I have to admit, I kind of have the luxury of not going out or only going out on the choicest days, I guess, in fishing. So, but yeah, this time of year, if you're an angler and you're not picky about what you catch as far as just liking a fish tugging at the end of the line, boy, right now is the time to be out there, especially for kids. If you got a kid that you want to get out there and introduce into fishing, or just, you know, keep them enthused about it, boy, get them out there now.
Good. About 40 years ago, when Lou Lemke was here, when he first came on, I'd ask him about fishing. He says, "Now, I'll tell you what, Bob," he said, "my fishing report is going to be different than the biologist, because they go out and fish it, and they are good, and I'm going to report on what I see in the creel, you know, so what the average Joe is doing, and
sure,
probably a little truer deal," but that was his philosophy, and I kind of agreed with that.
Yeah, I suppose there's some validity to that. You bet.
You can throw in three lines if you pop up a little extra money to tag onto your license.
You bet. An extra $10, you can get the bonus third line license. You know, I see a few of those. Again, you know, when pan fishing, I can't keep two lines in the water, let alone three, especially this time of year. But I can certainly see four, especially the cat fishermen. That's who I see most consistently with that third line license to to up their odds of when they're catfishing and throwing out a third type of bait or just a third location. So absolutely, for an extra $10, that's that third line license.
Well, worth it. Well, the cat fishermen, they let the cat take the bait halfway across the lake anyway before they set the hook. So
yeah,
you got a little more time than they do with jig fishing or something like that.
That's for sure.
Okay, changing gears. Turkey season, we're in the last few days. Sunday, she's all over with. How did it get better?
Well, you know, again, I've been gone for right at a week, but last I knew, it depended on who you were talking to. You talked to one guy, and he was having great luck with the folks he hunted with and the places he was taking folks, and they were doing real well, shooting birds consistently. And then I talked to the next couple of people, and they said the birds were henned up, or they were quiet, they weren't gobbling, they weren't decoying, they weren't coming to the call. So it sounded like a little bit of a mixed bag, and I don't know whether that was just a measure of the person's ability to call, or or their ability to turkey hunt, or whether the birds where they were at were just fickle like that. I'm not sure. So it was kind of a mixed bag depending on who you talk to.
Yeah, that's kind of what I ran into. Also, a couple of days after our last program, I ran into a guy, and well, it was Mother's Day, and I said, "You got your Mother's Day gift taken care of?" And I've been turkey hunting. I said, "Well, how's it been going?" "Oh, great," he said. "We've had turkeys gobbling all around us, and some other guys, I know one guy I know quite well, he goes to the same place every year, and he's been zipped out this year, and that's pretty unusual for him." But he said there's a real big tom in there, and he's afraid, he's thinking maybe that tom ran everything else out. I don't know whether that'd be possible or not, but they might, you know, who knows.
Well, they certainly vie for the attention of the females, and if he's that big and that dominant, he might have kicked enough tail feathers to for the others to be avoiding him.
Yeah, got to run them out of there. So Sunday is the last day. That season arrangement has been around since time began, of the 4 days, the first weekend, the second weekend, and then two weekends, and it seems to work out quite well.
It does. The only thing that's changed with that has been that youth season that they added beforehand, and of course the problem with that time of year is the weather can be so fickle. You don't know. I remember one year hunting that first turkey season, and literally the one day I was bundled up in every winter piece of clothing I had with me, and it was snowing, and the snow was horizontal, and the next day it was literally 80 degrees. I was in a t-shirt getting sunburned on my arms in a matter of less than 24 hours. So, but yes, you're right. That same, structure has been around, and it seems to work anyway.
Yeah. Hit it the first time. Well, I guess they adjusted a little as turkey spread and became more popular. They added, seasons and this type of thing, but then it got set where it is, and it's good.
Sure. Well, I'm glad to hear we're doing something right anyway.
Always give credit where credit is due.
Yeah, you can't keep everybody happy, but at least maybe we're doing something right.
We were talking before the program, our Nishnabotna River here at Atlantic, the East Nishna, is underutilized. We have a boat ramp right off of the Second Street Bridge on East Atlantic, and very convenient to get to. And I don't think anybody uses it.
I don't see much activity in and out of there. In the summertime, I'll see once in a great while, you'll see somebody with a canoe rack or a kayak rack on their vehicle using it. But I agree. And that's, it's not just the East Nishnabotna. It's not just Southwest Iowa. It's the whole state from what I've seen. Our small streams are, I believe, heavily underutilized. And, mm-hmm. and quite frankly, they're one of my favorite resources in the whole state. I love our small streams. I love catfishing them. I love, you get up in Northeast Iowa where I lived for six years or better, the smallmouth fishing, the walleye fishing on the turkey and the upper Iowa and the yellow and the Wapsipinicon or Wapsie as they refer to it up there. But of course, it's a whole different stream. They're very clear. You can see all the way to the bottom. They've got trout in them. They've got smallmouth in them. And then you come down here in the western part of the state, southern part of the state, got some outstanding catfishing in them and walleyes as well and other species. I think one of the prettiest floats, and again, I've even compared to Northeast Iowa, I floated several years ago, I floated a stretch of the Nodaway from mm-hmm. Put in there at Grant and floated down to, I don't even remember where we took out, I think it's a place called maybe like 10. Tenville, yeah, down be. There, mm-hmm. and just a beautiful stretch. Now we had to, there was a few places we had to portage around some down trees that were covering the whole stream, but just a beautiful little winding stream. I saw a huge softshell turtle up on one of the sandbars laying her eggs, which was the first time I'd ever seen that. Mm-hmm. A softshell laying eggs anyway, and it's just absolutely beautiful. And it's kind of a shame that they're underutilized and more people don't get out and enjoy those.
That's for sure. After you're out of sight of the bridge where you put in, you are in wilderness. It's a completely different world.
Yes, it is. And, we do have a program where they're working on river access, and they're working on at least signing these accesses and so on and so forth to make those canoeing, kayaking trips a little more doable, just, getting the knowledge out to the public of, hey, this is the type of ramp that's here, whether it's concrete or gravel or whether it's a carry-down situation. So they are working on those, but again, it underutilized. I'd encourage people to get out and experience our small streams here.
Yeah, if you're just going to just canoe, the water's about perfect now. The rivers are up a little bit, but not dangerously. This not that fast. And if you're not going to do some fishing, it's a little murky. But, boy, you can get a nice canoe ride and go quite a long way.
Absolutely. And, you hit the nail right on the head, usually earlier in the season. Again, if they're not dangerously high or fast, this is the best time to be out there because the water levels are where you're not dragging and having to drag across sandbars and portage over sandbars and so on and so forth. But as a real quick aside here, it's probably been two or three summers ago now, we put a tunnel hole boat in at Hamburg, Iowa. And we motored upstream all the way up to Hancock.
Really?
And if I remember right, I looked at river miles. I estimated we had around 80 river miles in that day. And I saw stretches of the Nishnabotna that I'd never seen before.
Yeah,
so it was beautiful.
Get out and do it.
Absolutely.
It's the name of the game. For Lee Satoff, Jim Swanson, and the others at the Lyman Ag Supply Company and the Family Vision Center, your complete vision center in downtown Atlantic, it's been Bob Evensley along with Brian Smith, Conservation Officer for Cass and Adair County. Take that back a little bit. Supervisor for Southwest Iowa after we... Now I got myself completely out of track, but it's been this morning's Conservation Report.